So our next performer tonight is James Warren. James has been described as having a dry delivery, utterly endearing, never fails to land by the Australian Arts Review. James G. Warren is a sweet young man from Hobart. He is a connoisseur of good jokes, good friends, and broccoli. My kids would not love you. James is the amazing Cannibal Flowers token straight white man. Thank you, James.
Thank you. Hello. Hello. Do you ever learn a new word and suddenly it's ubiquitous? Happens sometimes, doesn't it? This may surprise you, but I actually earn my living on the streets. I'm very familiar with back streets, back alleys, courts, cul-de-sacs, because that mail's not going to deliver itself, you know. I'm a postman, I've got to get in there, I've got to deliver the mail. That's how I make my money. I've got the skills to deliver the bills. If you've ever had a bill, that's just me trying to pay my bills, you know? So sorry about that, but that's something people say to you on the street all the time. They say, oh, you can keep hold of those bills. You can send them back, mate. No, I can't. I really can't. You have to have your bills. So it's fun being a postman. I moved here from Hobart about 3 years ago. I just wanted to do comedy, and it was surprisingly easy to get into that job. Actually, I was just out of an arts degree. I had no work experience whatsoever, but I had to, and I just wanted to do comedy. But I had to start thinking, you know, what sort of job am I going to do? Let's see. I have a smooth delivery. I like to push the envelope, and I'm a man of letters. What sort of job should I do? And look where I ended up. I think they let me in too easy, really. I mean, I remember the second question on the job interview to become a postie was, describe your experience with push bikes. In that voice as well. Describe your experience with push bikes. I've definitely had rougher job interviews, I can tell you that. Made me think, well, I could have been doing this job when I was 10 years old, I guess, so... Yeah. Let me just pause to gather my thoughts. I was this one time at university. Who's been to university? We're educated people. Nice. So what was the longest essay that you had to do? How many words was the longest essay you had to do? 2,500. Can anyone beat 2,500? 3,000. 3,000 in the back. What did you say over here? 10,000. Okay, stop getting competitive. We don't need to get competitive. It's all right. C's get degrees. We've all got degrees. For any people who haven't gone to uni yet, C's get degrees. That's my mum's catchphrase, which she could have been a bit more encouraging. But anyway, I didn't mean to incite any competitiveness there. All I meant to say is I think the highest I ever did was 4,000 words, and I remember because. This one year, I had to do a 4,000-word essay, and I had it in four pictures, and it didn't quite work out. I don't know what happened there. I can't tell you where I went wrong there, because I'm pretty sure a picture speaks of that. It didn't. It's just a waste of time. It was just a real waste of time. I could have done way better. I don't think words get enough respect, because you always have these sort of sayings. People say, oh, a picture speaks 1,000 words, or you might have heard, you know, actions speak louder than words. 93% of communication is nonverbal, apparently. All right then, man. All right. Now say all of that again without words. Exactly. Try that. Here's a word thing you might like. I have a superpower. We were talking about superpowers before. I actually have one. It only activates when I have to look after children. Supervision. I got supervision. Applause from the back, thank you very much. I feel silly sometimes. I feel silly. Like when I was a kid, my dad told me that the moon is not made of cheese. Can you believe that? The moon's not made of cheese? I couldn't believe it, you know. I mean, what had I been living under a rock my whole life? Yes. The moon. I've been living in Tassie. And I've been living under a rock. And if you hadn't heard that the moon's a rock by now, I mean, have you been living under a cheese your whole life? I like that joke. I like that joke. About now is I'm actually getting to about 10 months sober. Around about now. 10 months sober. Thank you. Thank you. It's all right. I was never an alcoholic or anything. I just figured out that it's a good way to get rounds of applause. And when you're a comedian, sometimes you really need a round of applause, so you can just bring that out. All you have to do is not drink. In some circles, you get cheered for drinking a lot, but it's more economical, I find, to drink nothing at all. It's nice. People think it's boring, though. They say, oh, sobriety's boring. Oh, sobriety's boring. I think, you know, oh, no good story ever starts with a good cup of tea. I think drug stories are boring. Every drug story, if you've got one of these friends or went to school with one of these friends, every drug story is, oh, mate, oh, I can't believe I got home. Oh, it was a miracle I got home from that night, mate. Oh, I can't believe I got home. Like, mate, I don't know what to tell you. I go home all the time. It's really quite easy and simple. And you should be able to do it, and it shouldn't be a story. Oh, I got home. Yeah, me too, mate. I go home every day. I used to, when I first started drinking, I would show up to parties, and this is a bad sign. People would say, oh, here he comes. Can't wait to see drunk James G. Can't wait to see drunk James G. Get some beers into you, get drunk. I can't wait to see you when you're drunk. Which is, it's not a real compliment when you think about it, is it? It's not much of a compliment at all. Oh, I love drunk you. Oh, thank you. No, you're not you. You're better when your brain does not work. In fact, the closer to unconscious you are, the more I like you. It's not a good sign at all. It's no good at all. Who here eats porridge for breakfast? That was very enthusiastic for someone who eats porridge for breakfast. You got to spice it up, I think. When I first moved out, I was trying to be very economical. I had the most depressing recipe for porridge. I can't eat porridge anymore because of this recipe. It was, if you want to know the recipe, I'll tell you. It was home brand oats in a bowl, tap water, and you'd put that in the microwave for about 3 minutes. Yeah, I know, it's gross, isn't it? It sounds more like oats, water, radiation. That's not breakfast. That's not breakfast at all. It sounds more like a Soviet recipe for concrete than a recipe for breakfast. But that's what I was eating. Now I can't eat porridge. Porridge taught me that it's not enough to just sustain your life. You've got to sustain your will to live as well. So that's why I'm now quite a big fan of cinnamon. Love cinnamon. Porridge. Who here's got a slow cooker? No? Yeah, some people. It's fantastic, isn't it? You would agree with me that everyone here should get a slow cooker. Isn't it? It's so great. Curry is amazing in a slow cooker. It's so good. Listen to me. Exactly. You come home after a long, hard day thinking, who's been cooking? Oh, yeah, me. That's my dinner. My dinner's ready. My wife knew exactly what I wanted for dinner because I am my wife. At 8 o'clock in the morning making dinner, that was me. That was my wife. That was me. I love my wife. It might smell like someone loves me in here, but it's just me. Okay. I'll finish up on this. It is actually hard being like this, you know. It's hard being straight, white, young, male, educated, atheist, healthy, kind of handsome, and still unsuccessful because you know it's your fault. It's absolutely your fault. There's no way to explain it other than you have not done enough work. You know that. You get to know that at the core of your being. What a thing to live with, you know? What a thing to live with. And I really might have to live with it, you know, because my life expectancy is great. You guys have been great. Enjoy your night. See you later.